It's Big Ten Media Week with Dirt and Sprague.
I think these guys operate with a level of respect, knowing when you say things like this, it's tongue-in-cheek. But it's no different than when you joke with your boys. There's always a little truth to that joke.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Jump back to earlier parts of your favorite fan shows on the Odyssey app. The only way to rewind Portland's sports leader.
Big Ten Media Week with Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Eggs, breakfast, and gold whoop ass.
The Fan.
All right. 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland sports leader 1080 The Fan. Good morning. Happy hump day, everybody. Good morning, Will. How we doing?
Not too bad. Just running around like a chicken with my head cut off.
Yeah, it feels like you're operating 9 different pieces of machinery right now.
I need the Doc Ock arms right now is what I need. I need to be able to type into a bunch of different things.
It's pretty wild to watch you operate. I'm sitting over here, and you're looking at one screen, then you switch over, you're hitting this button, you're fading this up, you got to get your mic on.
I've got six. I have six.
You seem like you're all over the place, and I came into the parking lot this morning, getting into the building, and I parked right next to you. I'm assuming it's your car, it's Washington plates.
Yeah, yeah.
And I went, I think this guy is living in his car right now. There's like 9 shirts hanging in the window. There's hats on the back like it's a hat rack. And I'm like, I think it speaks to what he's been doing for us at the Fan lately, filling in with everybody.
Well, I was watching the parents' house. I was watching my dog. My parents, they're just gallivanting. Apparently, once your kids are off the scholarship plan.
They're fully retired, your parents?
No, not at all.
Oh.
It's just they're both teachers.
Oh, okay.
And so my brother, he's off in Ellensburg. He's doing his own thing. I'm here doing my own thing. So they're just gone all the time. I've basically lived in their house for the last month or so. First, it was like, Dad's going to Vegas. Mom's going to New York. Then they're both together taking a vacation down to California. They come back. They decide, well, we miss your brother. We need to go visit. So I've just been at the house taking care of my poor dog, making sure he's all diapered up. And then today it was like, I got to move back into the apartment. And it's either do I take all my stuff with me now or do I come back after work? Mm. I'd rather just take it all with me.
Sure.
But yeah, I look like a dumpster fire. You might think that I live under the 405 if you just looked at my car.
That's okay. I've been there before. I know what that life is like.
Under the 405?
Well, no, not under the 405, but in the car, just having everything. And people going, man, are you living out your car right now? kind of, a little bit. Did you say your dog is in diapers?
Yeah. It's getting sad. He's old.
How old is that dog?
Peanut is 14.
Is that a big dog?
Oh, no. He's a cockapoo. I have a purse dog.
Oh.
Very manly, yes.
14 for those dogs. Don't they live to like 16, 18, or am I wrong on that?
No, I mean, he's starting to get... This is around when we kind of started to know, like, hey...
Uncomfortable feelings and conversations.
Around, yes. Yeah. They're really starting. Well, because all of a sudden, every time you pick him up, now there's a new bump. Or like the bump that was on his nose, now he looks like Rudolph, and it's one of those, you're looking in his eyes and you can tell, like, he's pretty sure you're in front of him, but he doesn't
totally
know.
Are you keeping this dog alive?
Yes.
Is this a point where the dog probably could be going to the heaven?
No, but it's definitely like, you know, if you've got a grandparent and they're like right around that 80 to 85 mark.
And they're pooping their pants and they don't know who you are.
No. He's not pooping his pants.
There's bumps everywhere.
He's not pooping his pants. He
okay.
just can't control it when he sleeps.
Okay.
It's an issue.
But yes, in the pants. Yes, all right. So kind of is.
Well, again, it's only pee right now. It's the front diaper. The dog diaper doesn't look like the human diaper.
How old are you again? You're 20.
I'm 26.
You're 26?
Yeah.
So you were 12 when you got this dog?
Yeah, that sounds right. Seventh grade?
This is a hard thing to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I had to fight for him. It was a whole thing. I got him for my birthday in seventh grade.
You know, I lost my dog. My wife got a dog right before I met her. Her ex-boyfriend coincidentally bought it for her. And then they broke up. She kept the dog. And then she met me. And I've known that. I knew that dog from when it was 1 year old. And we had to put her down a couple years ago. And I'll tell you right now, hardest thing I've had to do. I've had a very privileged life to say that, but like really emotionally, it was the hardest thing I've ever had to do. I still haven't recovered. She's still my background on my cell phone, and I have another dog now.
That's got to be awkward. Does your other dog look at the photo and be like, hey, dude, what's going on here?
I think he's seen it, but he's kind of an idiot, was more of a forced situation than it was us like, hey, let's go pick a new dog. I didn't want a new dog, and that new dog just kind of fell into my lap.
It was like, this has to happen.
It was kind of like, hey, this has to happen, or this dog may not have much of a life, and it's really young. But, yeah, it's never easy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to be, like, uncomfortably old dog you're kind of keeping it around instead of...
No, but he's also not there yet. Like, I'm not...
You're kind of making it sound like that dog
is
finish line.
He has his moments. He's running on fumes, but he's still in the race. Like, he doesn't
need... Like a Disney car.
Yeah, like, he doesn't need stairs to go up and get on the couch. Like, he can still run and jump up on the couch. He goes for walks every single day.
Okay.
His vision just isn't great. Like, in Madden, if he had a 99 vision as a running back, he's probably closer to, like, 65.
What's his overall rating? Let's say it's NCAA football. What is your dog's overall rating? Like, a 70-something?
Yeah.
He might be flirting.
Yeah, he's probably, like, a Mountain West recruit.
Okay.
Like, if he was a
power like, a high 3-star and maybe, like, a really high 2 flirting with a 3?
I'd say high 2 flirting with with a 3. He might, like, sneak in to a power 5 or power 4 team,
sure.
But it would be like he got into like Indiana.
Yeah,
it'd be one of those. He'd be like the worst recruit at Indiana, or he could be like a mid-tier recruit at Boise State.
Okay.
You know, he's slowing down, but he's not there yet. He's still got some time.
We dog sat for some people recently, like 2 weeks ago, and their dog is, I think, the exact same age, 14. It's a smaller dog, and it's pretty blind, can't hear that well, and took it on walks, and like eventually, like halfway through a walk, just like sits on the cement.
It's like, I'm done, you're going to have to carry me.
Yeah, kind of one of those. Still can go to the bathroom on its own, right? But you have to like fill up its food with water because quite literally can't chew. And so it's like one of these... when do you make that call? Because the dog still kind of functions, but can't see, struggles to walk,
right.
Not as active, sleeps all day, needs food to be soaking wet to even eat.
See, we're not there with Peanut yet.
But like, do you think that sounds like the finish line?
No, look, I'm holding on with dear life. Much like this show,
don't be uncomfortably holding on, guy.
No, I'm not going to.
It makes you look bad, actually. I knew people like this. They had a dog, and they quite literally had to pick the dog up. It was a medium to large dog. They quite literally had to pick the dog up to move it to places.
Oh, no, we won't.
And just like, that dog is...
He's gone.
It's dead, but it's still alive. You know what I mean?
It's doing the Jimmy Carter where like it doesn't wake up on certain days.
Yeah. Jimmy Carter, is he alive? We don't know.
He's still alive, but there are days he doesn't wake up is what I heard last.
But they ended up putting that dog down like very quickly after we saw it. And I don't know if that was from the shame of doing that to that dog or they finally were just like, okay.
It's time.
This is unfair to everybody, including the animal. Don't be that guy.
See, I don't think that we have to worry about that because my dad's there. Like, he will be the voice of reason. He didn't want the dog to begin with. Has he, like, come over to the dog's side? Yes, of course.
Does the dog live with your parents or you?
He lives with my parents.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you right now, I kind of hated the dog we currently have, but as every dog owner, and some that didn't want to be dog owners, will tell you, you walk the dog, you clean the poop, you make sure it's fed, it lays next to you. Your dad may not have wanted that dog years ago, Will. Your dad might be more of a blubbering mess when that dog has to go down. And so I'm not so convinced your dad's readily going, hey, let's put Fido down.
I think he'll be the voice of reason. He's good with that stuff. My mom will try to hold on too long. I'll probably be a little bit closer to her side than my dad's, but I'll hold on a little bit longer than I probably should.
It's never easy.
No, and it's my first one.
I know.
It's like
that was your first dog, 12?
Yeah, we didn't have it. I had to fight for years. That was like a 2-year fight.
Yeah.
Different contract negotiations.
Oh, yeah. I'll do this chore. I'll do that chore. I'll train it. And
I had outside entities working for me, too. I grabbed other local parents to try and shame my father into letting me buy the dog.
Why did you go that dog? Out of curiosity, I know you love that dog, but you said you got like a purse dog. Why did you go purse dog?
Well, I'm allergic to dogs, and so is my dad.
Oh, gotcha.
So we needed the hypoallergenic.
Yeah.
Right. But then when you go with the cockapoo,
I don't know what a cockapoo is. It sounds like a
bird. It's a cute dog. It's a cocker spaniel and a poodle mix. You don't want the full poodle. And this is pre-golden doodle. So, like, getting golden doodles. It was cockapoos.
Those are the hot dog now, golden doodles.
Dude, they're everywhere. My brother has a golden doodle.
They're kind of crazy, too, if you don't properly, like, walk them and exercise them.
Right. Well, like, my brother has a golden doodle. It's not golden.
Mm.
It's kind of ugly.
Really?
It's gray.
I've seen a couple of those.
It's gray with like some black spots.
I think that's the
dog. Interesting dog.
That got invented a few years back, and the guy was recently asked, and he basically says, I regret doing it. he hates the breed. He's like, I hate that I did it.
They're the worst. They're so energetic. They have to be moving around constantly.
Oh, it's never great. I was a different situation. I was kind of born into a situation where people in my life had dogs, and they really had no business owning dogs, but they were like, hey, we got to have a dog. And then the dog is like outside, and you're like, are you going to let that dog inside at all? No? Okay. Well, I'm 5, and I think that's wrong, so you're an adult. What are you doing?
Yeah, I don't get that. Like, why the outside-only dog?
That's in the 90s, man, I don't know if it was a 90s thing, an 80s thing. Maybe some people still do it. There was a real, like, there were just people who had dogs, and they just, like, they played with them, but they had, like, pins, and they just left them outside all day and night.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Well, like, I've been told, like, it's a country thing. It's like, I grew up in Hawkinson. It doesn't get much more country than that, at least not in these parts. None of my friends had just outside dogs.
Yeah, like, my aunt and uncle lived in Hawkinson in the hills, and they always had dogs. They were great dog people.
Yeah.
And they would always, like, run around their property. But at the end of the day, like sunset, it's dinner time. They're getting in and they're hanging out all night.
Right. Like if you have a husky, you might have a dog run so that they're not kept in a kennel all day or they're not left around your house to tear it up. But as soon as you get home, like at some point, that dog's eating inside.
Yeah.
I've never understood.
Well, to be fully transparent, my stepdad got a golden retriever who I loved. It was my first dog ever. And my aunt had to take over the dog and was like, hey, we got 3-4 acres. Why don't you let us have the dog?
Right.
Dog ended up having a great life, but like for a while there, I loved that dog, but I was 4, 5, 6 years old. That dog slept outside, and I was always like, why is it out? Like, why don't you bring the dog in?
Let it sleep with me. That's all the kids want.
Very odd.
Just bring it in.
Yeah. Didn't quite understand it.
Yeah, I don't understand
but
that.
But just
either.
Be a responsible dog owner is all I'm saying. Don't let that dog. Because in a way, they kind of suffer if they get past a certain point, you know? Dog's there yet. I know.
No, he's not there. He a couple years. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed on a couple years. He can still see, but there, like I said.
Everything changes, though, within like a snap of a finger. We thought our dog was good.
Right.
We came back from Hawaii. She had all this fluid in her. She had cancer. And it's like within 2 weeks of coming back from a vacation, hey, you can keep her alive.
Right.
But awful quality of life here. And we were like, okay, well, I don't want the dog to suffer.
Right. No, 100%. We won't do that to Peanut. Peanut's been a good dog. Good family dog.
Oh, I love a good Peanut.
Yeah. Not the manliest dog name. Look, I was 12. We're working on it.
It's okay. I had a wiener dog. I named it Snickers because it had every color of a Snickers bar on it.
That's fantastic.
I mean, I had a lot of regrets about that about 4 or 5 years after I made the name, but I chose the name nonetheless.
There you go. You know what I will say? The proudest thing that I've accomplished with this dog?
Yeah.
Never made an Instagram for it.
There you go.
You will never see Peanut the Cockapoo on Instagram.
Have you posted it on Instagram?
Not on the new one.
You have a new Instagram?
Yeah, there was a thing. It happened. I got hacked.
Oh.
Oh, well.
You didn't get your account back?
No.
The ex-girlfriend?
No. Had a buddy. Big crypto guy.
You got scammed on a crypto thing?
I didn't lose any money.
No, but you responded to something and it hacks your account type deals?
It was one of those deals where it's like, you have two or three gen ed classes with a guy, go out and drink with him every once in a while. Nice guy.
Sure.
Always talking to you about Bitcoin.
Oh, God.
All of a sudden, you're in a moment where you're like, man, I got a new girlfriend. Like, I need some money. I could go take her out somewhere nice. Dude texts in, hey, look at all this Bitcoin I'm making.
Yep.
It's right during like the big COVID GameStop boom. It's like, I'm in. Let's go. I'm just a big, dumb 22-year-old.
Sure.
All you got to do, dude, just click this link. All right, bet. Boom. Gone. Oh, crap.
Yeah, roaring kiddied.
Oh, I got way worse than roaring kiddied.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
I got taken out behind the woodshed. But guess what? That was 22-year-old Will, and we improved, and we're better, and I've never fallen for another Bitcoin scam again.
We're living and we're learning, baby.
I've got a sign in my house that says, days until last Bitcoin scam.
Oh, and you're keeping track of it?
Yeah, I think we're in the 3,000s.
Well, we got a weird show today. I'll be honest with you. We're going to 10 a.m., but we're not really sure what's in front of us. You know what I mean? Like, we're going down a path. We think the path is going to get us through the forest. But we're not really sure what we're going to encounter on the way, right?
Well, Lewis and Clark.
A little bit. Wizard of Ozzy. You know, yeah. It's like, we got to go this way. There's a scarecrow. Okay, we're going. There's some apples. Oh, there's a tin man.
And we're just. Swag is our Sacagawea.
Yeah, Swag's going to be our cowardly lion. He is going to join us live from Indy. I don't think I'm going to get to an NFL Zig or Zag today. I didn't prepare one because I didn't know what the schedule was going to be. Big Ten Media Day, if you haven't been able to guess, is wildly all over the place. This is not a Swag thing. This is not a 1080 thing. This is a them thing. And so at some point, we might have Miller Moss, the quarterback of USC. At another point, we might have Luke Lachey, the tight end of Iowa. At another point, Adam Rittenberg, maybe Steve Hellwagon from Bucknuts, Ohio State. Swag himself is going to join us because I want to do a statter story at 8:15. So it's going to be all over the place. It's going to be wild, but it's going to be fun. Will Ortner in for Swag. Swag is live in Indy. We'll touch base with him. And thanks for hanging with us. We got a lot to get to. Let's get it started. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan. Stretched down and out, losing ground. Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Brothers and sisters, keep messing
up. This is a Big Ten Media Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app.
On 1080 The Fan.
Well, we'll weave in and out of Big Ten Media Day today. Swag is in Indianapolis. He told me he had a gut bomb of a brisket sandwich yesterday for one of his meals. And I said, well, you're living the best life over there in Indy, at least. Big Ten Media Days on the Fan are brought to you in part by Mods PDX. The future of building is here. We'll get to some college football dealings. Ryan Day with a couple things that stood out to me yesterday live at the podium. That we'll discuss. We've got some Blazer and basketball things to get to and touch on. Chauncey did a podcast yesterday, Carmelo Anthony's podcast, revealing an interesting story from his first year. I think he said it was his first year in Portland, or maybe it was his second year, or maybe it was last year. At this point, it's all a blur, and none of it's been good. But people on the internet have tracked down maybe who the culprit could be, so we'll get to that coming up. It's been rough, and one thing that's been exciting to me about the media days, fall camps are going to open up here, NFL camps have all opened up now, we've got Eminem, Joe Burrow, we've got Cody Rhodes, Joe Burrow showing up to Bengals camp. It gets me excited, and I know, Will, it gets you excited too because you're a football guy, but partly what helps with the excitement is the fact that my baseball team sucks.
Yes.
They're not good. The Braves had a team-only meeting yesterday, and I'm not here to talk exclusively about the Atlanta Braves. What I'm saying is when your baseball team's not very good or they're struggling or they become kind of unwatchable, it makes football season get there a lot quicker. And I know I'm kind of there. I'm keeping tabs on my Bravos, but I don't really expect a whole lot with the injuries they've suffered and they just haven't played well this year. I can only imagine where you're at as a Mariner fan after what's happened the last two games. And at this point, we talked about Seattle going and getting a bat. It kind of feels like, do they need to be sellers?
I honestly don't hate that. At this point, when you look at the Mariners, it looks like a team that has just totally quit. I mean, 2 days ago, Scott Servais literally gets in the presser and is just like, we're not a major league baseball club.
Do they look like they've quit, or is this who they've been and they just won a lot of one-run games and benefited from great pitching.
See,
that's the tough thing, I think, to decipher with Seattle Mariners.
It almost feels like a chicken or the egg thing, because true, sometimes you can struggle, right? Like, everyone has bad days. Everyone has days, you know, where it just isn't going well for you at work, right? But then you have a good day, or a boss comes in, or someone comes in and says, hey, man, you really killed it on this, or you did this really well. And then you get back into the swing of things. And I just feel like at no point has this team, like, come in and figured it out. I mean, look at Julio. It's his worst year in the majors by far, not even close. I mean, Cal Raleigh's still hitting bombs, but his average is horrific. You look at the entire team average. At one point, you were hitting, what, 210 as an entire team? And I don't think that that's really gone up. And then the biggest issue since the All-Star break, and I know it's only been two series, but you can't field. You gave up 5 runs in the 5th last night. 1 was earned.
Yeah.
That's horrific. That's Little League numbers right there. Literally Little League high school numbers. That can't happen. But that's happening because guys are pressing at the plate. They're not doing well. They're not putting the ball in play. Then they go out into the field and they're like, well, we have to be perfect. We can't make a single mistake. The minute that they make a mistake, it's over, right? It just seems like they're imploding. You had a 10-game lead in the division. You lose that in 24 games. It's the fastest by 11 games. Or 9 games, I can't remember. It's the fastest a team has blown that big of a lead in the division.
Yeah.
That's what you did, right? And so it just feels like it's one of those, it's not a slump. You have hit a point where you thought, hey, we're winning despite everything else. It's all going to get figured out. It's all going to come around.
Yep.
Well, that stuff doesn't get figured out. It doesn't come around. And then it almost gets worse because now you're pressing because you know you're losing. You're not winning. It sucks.
Yeah, I think most fans are kind of exactly with what you said and where you're at of just, this is what we're going to get. It's depressing. The Angels are not good.
No.
The Angels are not good.
No. No.
So, like, I told this to Dirt the other day as we got ready for the second half of the season. And the Astros series had happened. Dirt goes through the schedule and is like, well, you got this team and that team. And I had said, like, You can say that the schedule gets easier for them, and I would respond with, why is it easier for them? What have they proven to say, oh, it's the Angels? And look what they've done. They've lost the first two of the series. Yeah. So I don't...
You might get swept.
Even if you don't, you lost another series to the Angels.
Right.
You well, just lost 3 out of 4 to them like 2 series ago.
And the part that's frustrating, I was up in Seattle on Friday. I watched that Houston Astros game. Luis Castillo, who has his moments where he has big blow-up innings.
Sure.
That blow-up inning wasn't his fault, and it wasn't even a blow-up. He gave up 3 runs. That's yeah. it. Your starter went out and had a quality start. He had 7 innings pitched. He gave up 3 runs. By the way, 2 of them weren't earned. Your shortstop booted one. Your second baseman had a throwing error. So it's not even like, not only are the pitchers still performing great, but you're having guys have, you know, issues, and they're having fielding errors, and those are things that need to get fixed.
I think they're going to go, I'm curious to see what they do with the deadline looming. I think that they're end up going to be sellers. All right, so let's do this. We've got Miller Moss. I'm going to break real quick. I think we have to. Because I don't, how long am I going to have him for? Do you know? We'll do this. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll talk with USC quarterback Miller Moss. Big Ten Media Day is here, baby. Unpredictable, wild, all over the place. Miller Moss, USC quarterback, next on The Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit with the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Be ready for your next afternoon vacation with Beak Breaker Tropical. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker is early today. It is a fluid Big Ten Media Day show. Swag and Indy helping us out there. The Daily Ticker is brought to you by Pelican Brewing. Visit pelicanbrewing.com for more details on locations, events, and award-winning beers independently brewed since 1996. Pelican Brewing, Born at the Beach. We go live to Indianapolis. Our daily ticker guest today, we are very honored, the starting quarterback of the USC Trojans, Lincoln Riley's new guy, Miller Moss, who had a hell of a bowl game record, 6 tutties against Louisville, and he joins us live from Indianapolis. Good morning, Miller. Thanks for hopping on with us. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Good morning. Thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate it.
How is all of this? What is this like for you? You got some good stories out there of biding your time and waiting for your moment at USC, and it comes last year in the bowl game, and you take advantage of it. You grew up wanting to be the quarterback of USC. Here you are, starting quarterback, coming off of a great performance. What's it like to be the face of USC at a media day?
Yes, sir. I mean, look, we've got a lot of great players and a lot of great people in that building. So I don't want to walk around thinking I'm the face of the program or anything like that. But it is a tremendous honor to be able to represent the team here in Indy, and something I'm really excited about.
Can you walk us through the moment you find out you're going to be starting against Louisville, what the nerves and emotions are like, and then just going out there and having that kind of game?
Yeah, I think there was really just a ton of excitement. You know, I'd put in a ton of work that wasn't necessarily in the public eye. I was excited for that to translate. And I was excited to see really to prove to myself that, you know, I told myself I could do this over and over again. And it was really exciting to prove that to myself and give the team a ton of credit in how they responded to a rough back half of the year and really coming together in that bowl game prep and coming out with a win.
What did you guys accomplish, you think, from ending the season on such a high where the noise is kind of loud about, hey, this year was this year was that, and now you go into a new conference where expectations are kind of all over the place about the program.
Right.
What did you guys take away from that you've applied into the offseason and now as you get ready for fall camp to maybe prove people wrong about who you guys are?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we try to not buy into media narrative, so to speak, but one thing we really did take away from that bowl game is what we can accomplish in coming together. And I think we kind of saw that come to fruition throughout that game and throughout that process. And I think that's really served as a springboard going into our offseason and really served as a solid foundation going into this season. So I'm really excited about what we learned throughout that process, and I'm really hoping that carried over.
This is USC starting quarterback Miller Moss joining us live from Big Ten Media Day. Daily Ticker brought to you on the fan by Pelican Brewing, Born at the Beach. I'm pretty excited to see you guys. You got a lot of weapons out there, some of which I don't think people are talking enough about. What did you do in the offseason to help build even more chemistry with your receiving core? Lincoln Riley's offense tends to show us big-name quarterback, and then also, hey, they've got these explosive weapons. How much did you guys put in work into the offseason when you didn't even necessarily need to keep building some of the chemistry?
Right, yeah. Like you said, I'm very lucky to have some super talented guys to throw to. And just really want to commend them on their work ethic. Whenever I wanted to throw, whenever I wanted to watch film, whatever it was, one of our receivers got sick for a week during the summer, and he's sending me clips of what he's watching. So those guys really dove in and really embraced the process of wanting to be great. And I think there's a mutual understanding between all of us that there are certain things we have to do in order to go win football games. And all those guys really embraced that process. So, like I said, I'm super lucky to be surrounded by guys that share the same want to be great and want to go win. So, love those guys and excited for this year.
What's it like to play for Lincoln? There's been some national narrative noise out there about him, which we've jokingly set up here in Portland is a little ridiculous. But I'm just curious from a player perspective, especially your position, it seems like it might be a dream. But what is it like playing for Lincoln Riley?
Absolutely. I mean, in terms of the national narrative, we try not to pay any mind to that. But like you said, as a quarterback, it's really a dream come true to play for someone like that. I think the first couple meetings I ever sat in with him, like, I understood why he was so successful. And then going through a season with him, watching how he game plans week by week, and also just the lengths he's willing to go to win. He's someone that I truly respect and look up to and also really enjoy working with. I think it's invaluable as a quarterback when you have absolute faith in the call that's coming from the sideline, and it allows you to really play freely and not feel like you have to do more than what is asked of you. So very freeing as a quarterback to be able to play for him, and really honored to be in that position.
What areas did he maybe kind of point at, even though you have a good bowl game, that he says, Miller, you know, work on this for next year? Like, what's an area that you've really yourself, right, tried to hone in skill-wise?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think the best way to answer that is everything, you know. my goal, especially personally, has been to step on that field in September as a completely different player than I stepped on the field in December. So I think that that's all encompassing when it comes to throwing the ball, running the ball, leadership, and everything else that, that can be included in playing the position.
Miller Moss, the quarterback for USC, is our guest here on the Daily Ticker. He is live in Indianapolis. Swag was able to track him down. We're pretty excited to talk to him, coming off a great performance against Louisville, but he goes in now the starting quarterback. Expectations are interesting. You've kind of alluded to a couple things there of like, we don't pay attention to the national noise. What did you learn from Caleb, though, in seeing what he was doing in L.A. and kind of applying some of what maybe you saw or you learned from a guy like Caleb Williams?
Yeah, I mean, I think those practices with Caleb will always be so valuable to me in my career and who I became and become as a player. I think just going back and forth with him, especially when he first got there, we were the only two scholarship quarterbacks in the room, so we took every single rep. So it'd be like, he would go, I would go, he would go, I would go, and that back and forth really helped me grow as a player. When it comes to learning from him, the one thing that I'll always say that I'll take from him is he just exuded confidence. And I think having that unflappable confidence as a quarterback, especially as a quarterback at USC, is so invaluable to how you play. Just because that position is so dependent on confidence. And he could throw a pick, have a bad practice, whatever it may be, and he never faltered in who he knew he was as a player. So I think that's something that I'll always take from him.
Is it weird to be in the Big Ten? I know you're kind of focused on your season and fall camp's about to open, but as somebody who watched USC from afar and always rooted for him, like, it just, for us, right, in Portland, it's, you know, the Ducks are over there now, and the whole landscape of this stuff changes so much. I know you guys probably just stay in your own bubbles and try to work on your own individual skill sets, but like, how much of this stuff do you follow with realignment and conference changing, and just how maybe odd is it to be in Indianapolis for Big Ten Media Day being the USC right. Trojans?
Yeah, I mean, I think the one thing that I'll kind of miss is those old Pac-12 rivalries that I watched growing up. You know, my mom went to Stanford, and I was always a huge SC fan, so that was always a big game in our house. So I think that's the one thing I might miss. But when it comes to the schedule and realignment and all that stuff, it's our job to play on the schedule, and as players, we don't determine that. So our job is to put ourselves in the best possible position to go win games, and it's not about who's on the schedule, it's about what we do. So just really excited as a team and as a locker room.
You guys start the season off against LSU. I know camp is about to get underway, but just like opening the season, you're a standalone Sunday night game on ABC against right. the LSU Tigers, who are coming in looking for a little redemption for themselves too after their season.
Yes, sir.
Just, you got to be kind of jacked about that, right?
Absolutely. I mean, that's why you come to USC, to play in games like that. So I think it helps set the tone for the offseason when you've got a big week one game. And just really, like you said, really excited about that opportunity, and that's why you come to SC.
Is there a I'll get you out of here on this one because we do appreciate the time. Is there a game or a program outside of the LSU stuff? You get into the Big Ten that, like, you right. look at that schedule, and you take every opponent the same level of serious, but there's one that you're like, a little more excited to see the venue or play this team.
Yeah, I mean, I think we play, I believe our road games are Washington, Maryland, Minnesota, and Michigan. So
yep.
Coach Riley's always put a premium on conference road games, so we'll prepare extremely well for all of those, as we will for all the games. But as a USC Trojan, you're always going to, you know, get a little jacked up for UCLA and Notre Dame. But like you said, we treat every game the same and just take it week by week.
I also noticed there you didn't mention one road game because, well, we've all watched UCLA. I'm not really sure that's a road game for you
right,
guys.
Yeah, so. I guess no travel. I didn't count it as a road game. That's my fault.
Well, so I've seen it. We all know what's going on right there. Miller Moss, right. the new quarterback for USC. Have you played yourself in the video game? I do want to ask you that. Have you played yourself in EA yet?
I have.
What do we think of yourself playing the video game, and is it weird to play with your, well, this is going to sound odd, but to play with yourself, and how are you as a video game player?
I'm not a huge video game guy, but I think I take it a little more seriously when I'm playing as myself. You know, there's a little more pride on the line, so it's been fun. It's a really cool game, just awesome that we get to be part of the, you know, renewal of that game and that experience.
Well, thanks for hopping on with us here in Portland, man. We appreciate it. Looking forward to the season, especially that first game of the year against LSU. Good luck this year, and thanks for joining us.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right, there we go. Good stuff. Miller Moss, the quarterback of the USC Trojans, joining us on the Daily Ticker, which is brought to you, of course, by our great friends at Pelican Brewing. You can visit them at pelicanbrewing.com for more details on locations, events, award-winning beers. They're independently brewed since 96. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. Good stuff from Miller Moss. We move on. We've got another guest coming up next. You may know her. We haven't had her on in a while, and we can't wait to talk with her. Heather Dinich joins us on The Fan next.
This is a Big Ten Media Week edition of Dirt and Spray.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Spray here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and of course YouTube. We just talked with Miller Moss, the USC quarterback. He joined us. I saw the photo from Swag. He was all alone at a two-table situation talking to us in Portland. It looked sad, awesome, all kinds of things. But good stuff from him. He seems pretty pumped and jacked to get the season going. I mentioned it. He had a six-tutty game against Louisville in their bowl game. And so they ended their season on a bit of a high and encouraging, like, hey, we might have our guy here. So good stuff from Miller Moss. If you missed that interview, we'll put him at 1080thefan.com. We are anxiously awaiting our good friend Heather Dinich, who we haven't talked with in a while. She's been busy. We used to get her all the time, and now she's on Get Up and First Take, and she's moving and grooving. She's in the hospitality tent, but we are anxiously awaiting Heather Dinich to join us. It sounds like Swag touched base with Will. Josh Pate may join us at some point in the show today.
We're hoping so.
We're working on it. There's a lot going on. All of these people are also doing stuff, so it's just like, you know, you're trying to snip, snap, go one schedule to another. Dirk, coincidentally, is out today and tomorrow. He had scheduled a vacation about a year ago during Big Ten Media Day, so we're going to be going 6 to 10 today, and that's great for the audience that doesn't show up till 7 a.m. We'll be on till 10. We don't know who we're going to get and when we're going to get them, but we'll roll with it when we do. Swag will join us around 8:15-ish. I'd like to do a Indianapolis version of Statter Story, but if we need to pump out of that because you're busy and you haven't prepared it and you're doing a million things.
I have tree.
You what?
I have tree stats and stories.
Oh, really?
Or stories. Stats or stories.
Okay.
Yeah. I did it this morning.
Okay.
You texted me last night. I came prepared.
Well, you look super busy, too, so I didn't know, and that happens. But Swag will join us at around 8:15 today.
I gotcha.
Heather Dinich will join us. I just also want to be fully transparent. I don't think we're going to get any coaches. It doesn't sound like the coaches are very accommodating to the local things. It's more, hey, podium, national, we're out of here. We're shaking hands and kissing babies. So I'm not entirely confident Jonathan Smith is going to join any program today. And if he doesn't, that's kind of why. Every coach is kind of doing the same thing at Big Ten Media Day. Heather Dinich, again, will join us live from Indianapolis as we get ready to talk some college football. It is here, man. It is fall camps are about to open. My Bees are open in fall camp soon. The Ducks are open in fall camp soon. It gets you jacked. I'm going through schedules. I'm seeing what games are happening in what weeks. I'm going to Seattle Storm game on August 30th, which is a Friday night. Sabrina Ionescu is going to be in town. And I made sure to look at the college football schedule, and I'm like, Clemson, Georgia, 9 a.m. Saturday. We're staying in Seattle Friday night after the game. I'm like, we're not going home until after that Georgia-Clemson game.
No, you're going to have to go and find a Seattle bar or something.
Yes. Family-friendly.
I got the kiddos.
I got to
remember that I'm the only single one at this station without children.
Yes, I think you would be correct on that. Yeah.
There's an age difference. There's an age gap.
There's a couple no kids, but yeah, single and yeah, ready to mingle. You'd be the only one there.
Yeah, I think what you got to do is you got to find a spot where there's like an arcade. Like down here, that's the perfect Big Al's time, right? Like you can find a nice spot where you can get some food, the kids can eat, but then they can also run around, they can go to the arcade, go bowling, they can do their thing, because they're not going to want to sit and watch a whole football game. I'm assuming your kids aren't at that age yet.
They're not really into football in general. They're two girls, they're 12 and 8. Not that girls can't be into football.
They're just not.
About to join us, but they're just not at an age yet where they even really want to watch any sports largely. So
yeah,
I'm barely got my oldest into basketball.
Oh, yeah?
I'm just taking that win for what I can.
Who's the top player? How'd you get him into it?
I got her into it with Clark.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, you know, she became, and now it's like, you know, Aja Wilson and
okay.
Inescu and explaining who Taurasi is.
See, I was wondering if you might have gotten him on the Dame train. Like, my big first memory was, like, Brandon Roy being drafted, being a Blazer. Like, that's what got me into basketball.
She knows who Dame is. She's familiar that Dame is very good and popular in Portland, but, like, you know, it also helps to identify. And
right.
She can more identify with Caitlin Clark than she can Damian Lillard.
I wonder why.
I don't know. Maybe it's the white woman thing. I don't know. But yeah, so if that ends up being a blowout, then I'm going to hit the road early because I'm not going to stick around for a blowout.
No, no.
And I, whether it's a blowout or not, I'll be home in time for the Idaho-Oregon game and the Idaho State-Oregon State game, or vice versa, however that goes. They're both playing Idaho's that day.
Hey, so. As an Ortner, I'm going to have to keep an eye on the Oregon State Idaho State game. Now, I will be in here for the Ducks post game.
There you go.
But
you're doing it again this year, right, with Buck?
I am, yes. Okay. It's going to be fantastic.
It will be fantastic. I'm looking forward to it.
But the little cousin's over at Idaho State, so he's playing wide receiver out there. So I am going to have to keep an eyeball and see what's going on with the little cousin.
You know, we're...
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit with the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Be ready for your next afternoon vacation with Beak Breaker Tropical. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker is early today. It is a fluid Big Ten Media Day show. Swag and Indy helping us out there. The Daily Ticker is brought to you by Pelican Brewing. Visit pelicanbrewing.com for more details on locations, events, and award-winning beers independently brewed since 1996. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. We go live to Indianapolis. Our Daily Ticker guest today, we are very honored, the starting quarterback of the USC Trojans, Lincoln Riley's new guy, Miller Moss, who had a hell of a bowl game record, 6 tutties against Louisville, and he joins us live from Indianapolis. Good morning, Miller. Thanks for hopping on with us. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Good morning. Thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate it.
How is all of this? What is this like for you? You got some good stories out there of biding your time and waiting for your moment at USC, and it comes last year in the bowl game, and you take advantage of it. You grew up wanting to be the quarterback of USC. Here you are, starting quarterback, coming off of a great performance. What's it like to be the face of USC at a media day?
Yes, sir. I mean, look, we've got a lot of great players and a lot of great people in that building. So I don't want to walk around thinking I'm the face of the program or anything like that. But it is a tremendous honor to be able to represent the team here in Indy, and something I'm really excited about.
Can you walk us through the moment you find out you're going to be starting against Louisville, what the nerves and emotions are like, and then just going out there and having that kind of game?
Yeah, I think there was really just a ton of excitement. You know, I'd put in a ton of work that wasn't necessarily in the public eye. I was excited for that to translate. And I was excited to see really to prove to myself that, you know, I told myself I could do this over and over again. And it was really exciting to prove that to myself and give the team a ton of credit in how they responded to a rough back half of the year and really coming together in that bowl game prep and coming out with a win.
What did you guys accomplish, you think, from ending the season on such a high where the noise is kind of loud about, hey, this year was this year was that, and now you go into a new conference where expectations are kind of all over the place about the program.
Right.
What did you guys take away from that you've applied into the offseason and now as you get ready for fall camp to maybe prove people wrong about who you guys are?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we try to not buy into media narrative, so to speak, but one thing we really did take away from that bowl game is what we can accomplish in coming together. And I think we kind of saw that come to fruition throughout that game and throughout that process. And I think that's really served as a springboard going into our offseason and really served as a solid foundation going into this season. So I'm really excited about what we learned throughout that process, and I'm really hoping that carried over.
This is USC starting quarterback Miller Moss joining us live from Big Ten Media Day. Daily Ticker brought to you on the fan by Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. I'm pretty excited to see you guys. You got a lot of weapons out there, some of which I don't think people are talking enough about. What did you do in the off season to help build even more chemistry with your receiving core? Of, you know, Lincoln Riley's offense tends to show us big name quarterback, and then also, hey, they've got these explosive weapons. How much did you guys put in work into the off season when you didn't even necessarily need to keep building some of the chemistry?
Right. Yeah. Like you said, I'm very lucky to have some super talented guys to throw to. And just really want to commend them on their work ethic. Whenever I wanted to throw, whenever I wanted to watch film, whatever it was, one of our receivers got sick for a week during the summer, and he's sending me clips of what he's watching. So those guys really dove in and really embraced the process of wanting to be great, and I think there's a mutual understanding between all of us that there are certain things we have to do in order to go win football games, and all those guys really embraced that process. So, like I said, I'm super lucky to be surrounded by guys that share the same want to be great and want to go win. So, love those guys and excited for this year.
What's it like to play for Lincoln? There's been some national narrative noise out there about him, which we've jokingly set up here in Portland is a little ridiculous. But I'm just curious from a player perspective, especially your position, it seems like it might be a dream. But what is it like playing for Lincoln Riley?
Absolutely. I mean, in terms of the national narrative, we try not to pay any mind to that. But like you said, as a quarterback, it's really a dream come true to play for someone like that. I think the first couple meetings I ever sat in with him, like, I understood why he was so successful. And then going through a season with him, watching how he game plans week by week, and also just the lengths he's willing to go to win, he's someone that I truly respect and look up to and also really enjoy working with. I think it's invaluable as a quarterback when you have absolute faith in the call that's coming from the sideline, and it allows you to really play freely and not feel like you have to do more than what is asked of you. So very freeing as a quarterback to be able to play for him, and really honored to be in that position.
What areas did he maybe kind of point at, even though you have a good bowl game, that he says, Miller, you know, work on this for next year? Like, what's an area that you've really yourself, right, tried to hone in skill-wise?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think the best way to answer that is everything. You know, my goal, especially personally, has been to step on that field in September as a completely different player than I stepped on the field in December. So I think that that's all-encompassing when it comes to throwing the ball, running the ball, leadership, and everything else that can be included in playing the position.
Miller Moss, the quarterback for USC, is our guest here on the Daily Ticker. He is live in Indianapolis. Swag was able to track him down. We're pretty excited to talk to him, coming off a great performance against Louisville, but he goes in now the starting quarterback. Expectations are interesting. You've kind of alluded to a couple things there of, like, we don't pay attention to the national noise. What did you learn from Caleb, though, in seeing what he was doing in L.A. and kind of applying some of what maybe you saw or you learned from a guy like Caleb Williams?
Yeah, I mean, I think those practices with Caleb will always be so valuable to me in my career and who I became and become as a player. I think just going back and forth with him, especially when he first got there, we were the only two scholarship quarterbacks in the room, so we took every single rep. So it'd be like, he would go, I would go, he would go, I would go, and that back and forth really helped me grow as a player. When it comes to learning from him, the one thing that I'll always say that I'll take from him is he just exuded confidence. And I think having that unflappable confidence as a quarterback, especially as a quarterback at USC, is so invaluable to how you play. Just because that position is so dependent on confidence. And he could throw a pick, have a bad practice, whatever it may be, and he never faltered in who he knew he was as a player. So I think that's something that I'll always take from him.
Is it weird to be in the Big Ten? I know you're kind of focused on your season and fall camp's about to open, but as somebody who watched USC from afar and always rooted for him, like, it just, for us, right, in Portland, it's, you know, the Ducks are over there now, and the whole landscape of this stuff changes so much. I know you guys probably just stay in your own bubbles and try to work on your own individual skill sets, but, like, how much of this stuff do you follow with realignment and conference changing, and just how maybe odd is it to be in Indianapolis for Big Ten Media Day being the USC right. Trojans?
Yeah, I mean, I think the one thing that I'll kind of miss is those old Pac-12 rivalries that I watched growing up. You know, my mom went to Stanford, and I was always a huge SC fan, so that was always a big game in our house. So I think that's the one thing I might miss. But when it comes to the schedule and realignment and all that stuff, it's our job to play on the schedule, and as players, we don't determine that. So our job is to put ourselves in the best possible position to go win games, and it's not about who's on the schedule. It's about what we do. So just really excited as a team and as a locker room.
You guys start the season off against LSU. I know camp is about to get underway, but just, like, opening the season, you're a standalone Sunday night game on ABC against right. the LSU Tigers, who are coming in looking for a little redemption for themselves, too, after their season.
Yes, sir.
Just, you got to be kind of jacked about that, right?
Absolutely. I mean, that's why you come to USC to play in games like that. So I think it helps set the tone for the offseason when you've got a big week one game. And just really, like you said, really excited about that opportunity, and that's why you come to SC.
Is there a I'll get you out of here on this one because we do appreciate the time. Is there a game or a program outside of the LSU stuff? You get into the Big Ten that, like, you look at that schedule, and you take every opponent the same level of serious, but there's one that you're like, a little more excited to see the venue or play this team.
Yeah, I mean, I think we play, I believe our road games are Washington, Maryland, Minnesota, and Michigan. So Coach Riley's always put a premium on conference road games, so we'll prepare extremely well for all of those, as we will for all the games. But as a USC Trojan, you're always going to, you know, get a little jacked up for UCLA and Notre Dame. But like you said, we treat every game the same and just take it week by week.
I also noticed there you didn't mention one road game because, well, we've all watched UCLA. I'm not really sure that's a road game for you
guys. Right, yeah. I guess no travel. I didn't count it as a road game. That's my fault.
Well, so I've seen it. We all know what's going on right there. Miller Moss, the new quarterback for USC. Have you played yourself in the video game? I do want to ask you that. Have you played yourself in EA yet?
I have.
What do we think of yourself playing the video game, and is it weird to play with your, well, this is going to sound odd, but to play with yourself, and how are you as a video game player?
I'm not a huge video game guy, but I think I take it a little more seriously when I'm playing as myself. You know, there's a little more pride on the line, so it's been fun. It's a really cool game, just awesome that we get to be part of the, you know, renewal of that game and that experience.
Well, thanks for hopping on with us here in Portland, man. We appreciate it. Looking forward to the season, especially that first game of the year against LSU. Good luck this year, and thanks for joining us.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right, there we go. Good stuff. Miller Moss, the quarterback of the USC Trojans, joining us on the Daily Ticker, which is brought to you, of course, by our great friends at Pelican Brewing. You can visit them at pelicanbrewing.com for more details on locations, events, award-winning beers. They're independently brewed since 96. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. Good stuff from Miller Moss. We move on. We've got another guest coming up next. You may know her. We haven't had her on in a while, and we can't wait to talk with her. Heather Denich joins us on The Fan next.
This is a Big Ten Media Week edition of Dirt and Spray.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Spray here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and of course YouTube. We just talked with Miller Moss, the USC quarterback. He joined us. I saw the photo from Swag. He was all alone at a two-table situation talking to us in Portland. It looked sad, awesome, all kinds of things. But good stuff from him. He seems pretty pumped and jacked to get the season going. I mentioned it. He had a 6-tutty game against Louisville in their bowl game. And so they ended their season on a bit of a high and encouraging, like, hey, we might have our guy here. So good stuff from Miller Moss. If you missed that interview, we'll put him at 1080thefan.com. We are anxiously awaiting our good friend Heather Denich, who we haven't talked with in a while. She's been busy. We used to get her all the time, and now she's on Get Up and First Take and she's moving and grooving. She's in the hospitality tent, but we are anxiously awaiting Heather Denich to join us. It sounds like Swag touched base with Will. Josh Pate may join us at some point in the show today.
We're hoping so.
We're
working on it.
There's a lot going on. All of these people are also doing stuff, so it's just like, you know, you're trying to snip, snap, go one schedule to another. Dirk, coincidentally, is out today and tomorrow. He had scheduled a vacation about a year ago, during Big Ten Media Day. So we're going to be going 6 to 10 today. And that's great for the audience that doesn't show up till 7 a.m. We'll be on till 10. We don't know who we're going to get and when we're going to get them, but we'll roll with it when we do. Swag will join us around 8:15-ish. I'd like to do a Indianapolis version of Statter Story. But if we need to pump out of that because you're busy and you haven't prepared it and you're doing a million things.
Tree.
You what?
I have tree stats and stories.
Oh, really?
Or stories. Stats or stories. Yeah.
Okay.
I did it this morning.
Okay.
You texted me last night. I came prepared.
Well, you look super busy, too, so I didn't know, and that happens. But Swag will join us at around 8:15 today.
I gotcha.
Heather Denich will join us. I just also want to be fully transparent. I don't think we're going to get any coaches. It doesn't sound like the coaches are very accommodating to the local things. It's more, hey, podium, national, we're out of here. We're shaking hands and kissing babies. So I'm not entirely confident Jonathan Smith is going to join any program today. And if he doesn't, that's kind of why. Every coach is kind of doing the same thing at Big Ten Media Day. Heather Dinich, again, will join us live from Indianapolis as we get ready to talk some college football. It is here, man. It is fall camps are about to open. My Bees are open in fall camp soon. The Ducks are open in fall camp soon. It gets you jacked. I'm going through schedules. I'm seeing what games are happening in what weeks. I'm going to Seattle Storm game on August 30th, which is a Friday night. Sabrina Ionescu is going to be in town. And I made sure to look at the college football schedule. And I'm like, Clemson, Georgia, 9 a.m. Saturday. We're staying in Seattle Friday night after the game. I'm like, we're not going home until after that Georgia-Clemson game.
No, you're going to have to go and find a Seattle bar or something.
Yes. Well, like, yeah, family-friendly.
Oh, yeah.
I got the kiddos.
I got to remember that I'm the only single one at this station without children.
Yes, I think you would be correct on that. Yeah.
There's an age difference. There's an age gap.
There's a couple no kids, but yeah, single and yeah, ready to mingle. You'd be the only one there.
Yeah, I think what you got to do is you got to find a spot where there's like an arcade, like down here, that's the perfect Big Al's time, right? Like you can find a nice spot where you can get some food, the kids can eat, but then they can also run around, they can go to the arcade, go bowling, they can do their thing, because they're not going to want to sit and watch a whole football game. I'm assuming your kids aren't at that age yet.
They're not really into football in general. They're two girls, they're 12 and 8. Not that girls can't be into football.
They're just not.
About to join us, but they're just not at an age yet where they even really want to watch any sports largely. So
yeah,
I'm barely got my oldest into basketball.
Oh yeah.
I'm just taking that win for what I can.
Who's the top player? How'd you get him into it?
I got her into it with Clark.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, you know, she became, and now it's like, you know, AJ Wilson and Ionescu and explaining who Taurasi is.
See, I was wondering if you might have gotten him on the Dame train. Like, my big first memory was, like, Brandon Roy being drafted, being a Blazer. Like, that's what got me into basketball.
She knows who Dame is. She's familiar that Dame is very good and popular in Portland. But, like, you know, it also helps to identify. And she can more identify with Caitlin Clark than she can Damian Lillard.
I wonder why.
I don't know. Maybe it's the white woman thing. I don't know. But yeah, so if that ends up being a blowout, then I'm going to hit the road early because I'm not going to stick around for a blowout.
No, no.
And whether it's a blowout or not, I'll be home in time for the Idaho-Oregon game and the Idaho State-Oregon State game, or vice versa, however that goes. They're both playing Idaho's that day.
Hey, so. As an Ortner, I'm going to have to keep an eye on the Oregon State Idaho State game. Now, I will be in here for the Ducks post game.
There you go.
But
you're doing it again this year, right, with Buck?
I am, yes. Okay. It's going to be fantastic.
It will be fantastic. I'm looking forward to it.
But the little cousin's over at Idaho State, so he's playing wide receiver out there. So I am going to have to keep an eyeball and see what's going on with the little cousin.
You know, we follow football in August. Mm-hmm. I may have said this yesterday, but if I didn't, we get excited. Fall camp starts. NFL training camps are open, right? And then there's like a 2.5 week period in August where like that excitement kind of goes away in the sense of what happened yet? Practice yesterday. Absolutely nothing. Nobody could watch and they didn't share any information. All right, great.
Well, that's the one thing that no one really understands about fall camp is that fall camp sucks for everybody.
Oh, like, the players football are miserable.
And here's the thing. It's 1,000 times easier than even 5 years ago. Like no one in college football, except for maybe Cam Rising, knows what it was like to do two-a-days.
Right.
I am the last group that did two-a-days. My freshman year of college, 2016.
Right.
That's when we had two-a-days. Like, I listened to an Aaron Rodgers interview a couple days ago, and his whole thing was like, training camp isn't even hard anymore. Like, my body isn't sore. The only part that gets annoying is I have 1,000 meetings all day.
There's a bunch of meetings. They don't want people hitting each other a whole lot because of injury. They all wear these big-ass Smurf concussion helmet things on their helmets.
The Guardian
now.
Caps.
Dude, those things. And by the way, the NFL's allowing those. Those look weird. I know that they help, and that's great. They just look like the great Gazoo out there playing football.
Here's the thing. They don't help, though, because I was going
out. I thought they took concussions down a certain percentage.
Yes, they totally do. But I remember when we first got Guardian caps, the first thing that we did as idiots is we lined up 20 yards apart from each other, sprinted so that we met in the middle, and Chris Benoit headbutted each other.
Yeah.
Like flying off the top rope.
Like when you're in a bubble at those big human bubbles and you just run into each other.
We did it 10 times. It was the dumbest thing you've ever seen. Literally, our coach had to come out and be like, stop.
It cuts it down. It doesn't actually stop it from happening.
The president of the university is here. You guys look like idiots. He's going to fire me. You cannot jump into each other, Superman.
Well, whenever I see Travis Kelce's, his head is so big and it's so massive. I'm like, when he runs, does the wind tip him over a little bit because of how massive that thing is?
It sounds stupid, but it does take like a sec to get used to it.
I bet it does. It's got to feel a little weird.
It's not like super heavy, and it's not like you take it off and you're like, it's like a 5-pound ankle brace, and now I can sprint and I'm faster.
What should we do here? Because if we break now, we'll be right on time for the second hour, and I don't think you've been alerted of Heather. So should I break? Are we good to break?
He's talking in my ear.
Okay. God, this whole thing is so up in the air, wild. And if we break now.
No break. Go long.
Don't break.
Swag, the king of breaks, said go long. We're going long.
Just keep going.
Go deep. Run four verts. She's coming.
Okay.
She'll be here in like a minute.
Well, I mean.
She's right here.
Okay. Do we have her?
I'm putting her on.
Okay.
On.
Here we go. Heather, can you hear us?
I got you. You got me all right?
Oh, my God. Will, can you get on the mic and clap? This is the Heather Dinich. This is a good friend of the show. We haven't had her on in a while. How you doing, Heather?
I'm terrific. How are you guys?
You know what? We've been a little envious of Get Up, but we watch every day in our studio, and we go, there's our good friend Heather Dinich. We used to just get her on the radio, but she's too big time now. You're on ESPN Daily. Congratulations on all your success so far. It's great to see you on the national shows.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm going to go ahead and credit Oregon and USC and UCLA and Washington and Texas and Oklahoma. They have a little something to do with that. There's a little more to talk about right now.
Well, what is it like to kind of walk around? I know you're talking to a lot of big wigs, your movers and shakers out there. What's it just like? I was talking to Miller Moss at USC, and he grew up watching the Trojans. His mom's a Stanford fan. I'm like, is this weird to you? And he's like, yep, this is weird to me. Is it weird to everybody else covering the sport or in the sport of just like, hey, there's Washington and Oregon logos here at Big Ten Media Day?
Yes, it's weird. And I say that having the perspective of being an Indiana graduate. And I'm here, and I landed at the airport in Indianapolis, where I landed so many times when I was a student flying out here from Pennsylvania. And, you know, you get here and you walk in and the Oregon Duck is in the river on social media. And I'm just like, where am I? This is Indianapolis? And also, what are the people thinking who are just walking around town and have no idea what's going on here in Lucas Oil Stadium? So it's strange. But at the same time, we're all used to Oregon and Ohio State playing, right? We've seen that movie before. Mm-hmm. And when they get on the field, it's going to be normal because that's college football and it's going to be a great game. But now it has implications for the Big Ten standings.
Well, what's interesting, and we're talking to Heather Dinich here, ESPN, find her on Twitter. She covers the sport, does a great job covering the playoff as well. Joining us live from Indianapolis. You know, one thing we've talked about is these schools going to these new conferences. The one big thing about college that I think all of us love is like pageantry and rivalry and, hey, Oregon hates Cal and you know, just random rivalries that nobody in America thinks about or talks about that are real for us. Are we going to miss that with this? And you've alluded to something that I was thinking about yesterday listening to Ryan Day, and Dan Lanning's the preseason coach of the year in the Big Ten, and they're coming in with a lot of juice. They haven't played in the regular season. They, I think, played one time in like the last 25-plus years. They've met in bowl games. In a way, they come in this year without having been conference foes, and it feels like that game is going to feel like a rivalry given what the narrative's been about Oregon and Ohio State bringing back such a loaded team and defending kind of the Big Ten's traditional powerhouses.
Well, and it's what's interesting to me, so a couple points here. The rivalries are different. In the SEC, they talked last week about gaining some rivalries with Texas playing the Aggies again and Arkansas, and they made a point of emphasis on that because there are some others that will be lost, like Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, right? And those kinds of things are what make college football so special and unique. One of the things that could happen in the college football playoff, I'm not sure if people realize, is teams have the potential if the stars align, to play each other three times, which could create new rivalries, because Oregon and Ohio State could play in the regular season. They could see each other again in the Big Ten championship game. And if the seeding falls right, they could play again in the college football playoff, which is crazy. Same thing could happen with Ohio State, Michigan. So that possibility is open. But you think about Ohio State having to go to Autzen, which I've been to, is a fantastic, difficult place to play, right? But then you also have UCLA that has to go to Rutgers, right? And Penn State. And you think about these trips, and it's just mind-blowing, some of the travel. And Big Ten Commissioner Tony Petitti talked about that a little bit yesterday when he spoke to the media and said that travel is going to be hard. The one thing they did is they prevented cross-country trips and back-to-back weeks for teams, but he said that they will continue to evaluate travel for all sports across the board as the season unfolds.
How many Big Ten teams in your mind are, when you talk about playoff, like we're weary that the SEC network, which is under the umbrella of you guys, I said this last week, like they're already kind of teeing up, I think there's five teams here that should make the playoff, and like they're already getting that narrative out there. As we saw last year, narratives matter. Florida State gets hosed after being undefeated. I'm curious, when you look at the Big Ten, how many teams to you, if we're in a 12-team expanded playoff year one, how many do you view as playoff teams? How many could the Big Ten get in?
I think three is a realistic number. And if you're comparing that to the SEC, I think four is a realistic number for the SEC. I think the SEC's deeper, quite honestly, but I think that has yet to play out in the Big Ten, because when I look at the Big Ten, I see Ohio State at the top, Oregon, and then who's that third team? Is it Penn State? They do have something to prove, right? Michigan has a lot of questions after losing so much from last year's national championship team. Is USC a contender? Can Wisconsin be a long shot team? There's room for more. But what no one knows, including the College Football Playoff Selection Committee, is will a three-loss team get in? You're definitely going to see a two-loss team. But the fact of the matter is, in the SEC and the Big Ten, it's going to be really, really difficult to finish with even two losses for some of these teams, because it got harder when these conferences added the teams that they did. So, you know, I think three is realistic enough to, you know, preseason, what we know on paper, Penn State to me would be that third team for the Big Ten, but they've got a tough schedule too. I mean, good grief, they could lose their season opener, West Virginia.
Yeah, West Virginia is one of those under the radar teams. Heather Dinitz joining us here, ESPN Live at Indianapolis Big Ten Media Day. Your thoughts, just seeing maybe blurbs or watching the press conference of Jim Phillips in the ACC, we in Portland. Our two cents was it just had a lot of George Kliavkoff last year energy of like, no, we're great. We're amazing. We're in this with everybody else. And I know there's been a lot of noise. Your thoughts on the ACC's current landscape, where their powerhouses seem to not be happy and they're saying everything's all great. We're a great conference.
I can just picture Jim Phillips' face cringing if he heard you compare him to George Kliavkoff.
Am I wrong, Heather? Didn't it come off a little George Kliavkoff? Like, hey, we're in a great spot right now.
In a way, yes. The difference is that it's a big difference. The difference is with George at this time last year, he was trying to get a TV deal.
Yes.
And the ACC is locked into one, and that's causing all of the frustration and tension and lawsuits. So in a way, it was good for the ACC for Jim Phillips to come out and so staunchly defend the conference and say, this is not good for the league, because he hasn't been very public about really some strong feelings that he obviously has. And for him to do that, I think was at the right time, at the right moment. And also, everyone at every other media days, every commissioner is getting asked about the ACC. How close are you paying attention to it? You know, Sankey was asked about it. Petitti was asked about it. Yormark's always asked about it. So, excuse me. It's a real issue. But I think if you're in his shoes, you're saying and doing the same thing.
We'll get you out of here on this one, because we do appreciate the time. It's nice to catch up with you. Really, it is. And we know you're crushing it over there at ESPN. If the ACC, if something is to happen with some of the bigger players who don't seem very happy, is the pivot for the ACC maybe – do they reach out West Coast? Like, we have two schools out here that kind of got left out of the Pac-12 dealings, and they're just trying to keep afloat in this landscape, this weird landscape of college football. Oregon State, Washington State, ACC futures, question mark. Yes?
I wouldn't rule anything out because conference realignment is never over. They need to find a home. You would expect, and I'm sure that Mountain West Commissioner Gloria Navarez and Pac-12 Commissioner Teresa Gould are having conversations about the future of both their leagues and what the best option is for those two schools. They want to be Power Five money, Power Four money, right? They want to be resources and everything that's attached with that. Would they have that opportunity? I don't know the answer to that right at this, as we sit here this very moment, but, you know, it's hard not to imagine them landing in a spot that is Power Four, but at the same time, it didn't happen yet. You know, it's like musical chairs, right? And they didn't get picked. So I don't know, guys. It's a tough situation for them to be in. There's no other answer to that.
Yeah, there for sure is. Good stuff. Heather Denich joining us in Indianapolis, Big Ten Media Day. Heather, it was great to catch up with you. We'd really like, if your schedule opens up at any point during the football season, to get you back on and talk about what's happening during the season. Thank you for joining us. And again, congratulations. It's great to see somebody who's worked their tail off be rewarded and see you on the national shows almost every day now that football season's back.
Thank you guys so much. I'm happy to join you, and you guys are in Big Ten country now, so get used to it.
There we go. B1G Oregon. Thanks, Heather.
Thanks.
There we go. Heather Denich joining us live from Big Ten Media Day. Good stuff from her. Jeff Schwartz is supposed to join us in about 10 minutes, so we're going to take a second. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back even though we're in the second hour with hour number two, Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.
This is a Big Ten Media Week edition of Dirt and Spray.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Spray here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and of course YouTube. We just talked with Miller Moss, the USC quarterback. He joined us. I saw the photo from Swag. He was all alone at a two-table situation talking to us in Portland. It looked sad, awesome, all kinds of things. But good stuff from him. He seems pretty pumped and jacked to get the season going. I mentioned it. He had a six-tutty game against Louisville in their bowl game. And so they ended their season on a bit of a high and encouraging, like, hey, we might have our guy here. So good stuff from Miller Moss. If you missed that interview, we'll put him at 1080thefan.com. We are anxiously awaiting our good friend Heather Denich, who we haven't talked with in a while. She's been busy. We used to get her all the time, and now she's on Get Up and First Take and she's moving and grooving. She's in the hospitality tent, but we are anxiously awaiting Heather Denich to join us. It sounds like Swag touched base with Will. Josh Pate may join us at some point in the show today.
We're hoping so.
We're
working on it.
There's a lot going on. All of these people are also doing stuff, so it's just like, you know, you're trying to snip, snap, go one schedule to another. Dirk, coincidentally, is out today and tomorrow. He had scheduled a vacation about a year ago. During Big Ten Media Day. So we're going to be going 6 to 10 today. And that's great for the audience that doesn't show up till 7 a.m. We'll be on till 10. We don't know who we're going to get and when we're going to get them, but we'll roll with it when we do. Swag will join us around 8:15-ish. I'd like to do a Indianapolis version of Statter Story. But if we need to pump out of that because you're busy and you haven't prepared it and you're doing a million things.
I have
trees. You what?
I have tree stats and stories.
Oh, really?
Or stories. Stats or stories. Yeah.
Okay.
I did it this morning.
Okay.
You texted me last night. I came prepared.
Well, you look super busy, too, so I didn't know, and that happens. But Swag will join us at around 8:15 today.
I gotcha.
Heather Denich will join us. I just also want to be fully transparent. I don't think we're going to get any coaches. It doesn't sound like the coaches are very accommodating to the local things. It's more, hey, podium, national. We're out of here. We're shaking hands and kissing babies. So I'm not entirely confident Jonathan Smith is going to join any program today. And if he doesn't, that's kind of why. Every coach is kind of doing the same thing at Big Ten Media Day. Heather Dinich, again, will join us live from Indianapolis as we get ready to talk some college football. It is here, man. It is fall camps are about to open. My bees are open in fall camp soon. The ducks are open in fall camp soon. It gets you jacked. I'm going through schedules. I'm seeing what games are happening in what weeks. I'm going to Seattle Storm game on August 30th, which is a Friday night. Sabrina Ionescu is going to be in town. And I made sure to look at the college football schedule, and I'm like, Clemson, Georgia, 9 a.m. Saturday. We're staying in Seattle Friday night after the game. I'm like, we're not going home until after that Georgia-Clemson game.
No, you're going to have to go and find a Seattle bar or something.
Yes. Family-friendly.
Oh, yeah.
I got the kiddos.
I got to remember that I'm the only single one at this station without children.
Yes, I think you would be correct on that.
There's an age difference. There's an age gap.
There's a couple no kids, but, yeah, single and, yeah, ready to mingle. You'd be the only one there.
Yeah, I think what you got to do is you got to find a spot where there's like an arcade. Like down here, that's the perfect Big Al's time, right? Like you can
find
a nice spot where you can get some food, the kids can eat, but then they can also run around, they can go to the arcade, go bowling.
Yep.
They can do their thing because they're not going to want to sit and watch a whole football game. I'm assuming your kids aren't at that age yet.
They're not really into football in general. They're two girls, they're 12 and 8. Not that girls can't be into football.
They're just not.
About to join us, but they're just not at an age yet where they even really want to watch any sports largely. So
yeah,
I'm barely gotten my oldest into basketball.
Oh yeah.
I'm just taking that win for what I can.
Who's the top player? How'd you get him into it?
I got her into it with Clark.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, you know, she became, and now it's like, you know, Aja Wilson and Ionescu and explaining who Taurasi is.
See, I was wondering if you might have gotten him on the Dame train. Like, my big first memory was, like, Brandon Roy being drafted, being a Blazer. Like, that's what got me into basketball.
She knows who Dame is. She's familiar that Dame is very good and popular in Portland. But, like, you know, it also helps to identify. And she can more identify with Caitlin Clark than she can Damian Lillard.
I wonder why.
I don't know. Maybe it's the white woman thing. I don't know. But yeah, so if that ends up being a blowout, then I'm going to hit the road early because I'm not going to stick around for a blowout.
No, no.
And whether it's a blowout or not, I'll be home in time for the Idaho-Oregon game and the Idaho State-Oregon State game, or vice versa, however that goes. They're both playing Idaho's that day.
Hey, so. As an Ortner, I'm going to have to keep an eye on the Oregon State Idaho State game. Now, I will be in here for the Ducks post game.
There you go.
But
you're doing it again this year, right, with Buck?
I am, yes. Okay. It's going to be fantastic.
It will be fantastic. I'm looking forward to it.
But the little cousin's over at Idaho State, so he's playing wide receiver out there. So I am going to have to keep an eyeball and see what's going on with the little cousin.
You know, we follow football in August. Mm-hmm. I may have said this yesterday, but if I didn't, we get excited. Fall camp starts. NFL training camps are open, right? And then there's like a 2.5 week period in August where like that excitement kind of goes away in the sense of what happened yet? Practice yesterday. Absolutely nothing. Nobody could watch and they didn't share any information. All right, great.
Well, that's the one thing that no one really understands about fall camp is that fall camp sucks for everybody.
Oh, like, the players football are miserable.
And here's the thing. It's 1,000 times easier than even 5 years ago. Like no one in college football, except for maybe Cam Rising, knows what it was like to do two-a-days.
Right.
I am the last group that did two-a-days. My freshman year of college, 2016.
Right.
That's when we had two-a-days. Like, I listened to an Aaron Rodgers interview a couple days ago, and his whole thing was like, training camp isn't even hard anymore. Like, my body isn't sore. The only part that gets annoying is I have 1,000 meetings all day.
There's a bunch of meetings. They don't want people hitting each other a whole lot because of injury. They all wear these big-ass Smurf concussion helmet things on their helmets.
The Guardian
now.
Caps.
Dude, those things. And by the way, the NFL's allowing those. Those look weird. I know that they help, and that's great. They just look like the Great Gazoo out there playing football.
Here's the thing. They don't help, though, because I was going
I thought
up,
they took concussions down a certain percentage.
Yes, they totally do. But I remember when we first got Guardian caps, the first thing that we did as idiots is we lined up 20 yards apart from each other, sprinted so that we met in the middle and Chris Benoit headbutted each other.
Yeah.
Like flying off the top rope.
Like when you're in a bubble at those big human bubbles and you just run into each other.
We did it 10 times. It was the dumbest thing you've ever seen. Literally, our coach had to come out and be like, stop.
It cuts it down. It doesn't actually stop it from happening.
The president of the university is here. You guys look like idiots. He's going to fire me. You cannot jump into each other, Superman.
Well, whenever I see Travis Kelce's, his head is so big and it's so massive. I'm like, when he runs, does the wind tip him over a little bit because of how massive that thing is?
It sounds stupid, but it does take like a sec to get used to it.
I bet it does. It's got to feel a little weird.
It's not like super heavy, and it's not like you take it off and you're like, it's like a 5-pound ankle brace, and now I can sprint and I'm faster.
What should we do here? Because if we break now, we'll be right on time for the second hour, and I don't think you've been alerted of Heather's. So should I break? Are we good to break?
He's talking in my ear.
Okay. God, this whole thing is so up in the air, wild. And if we break now.
No break. Go long.
Don't break.
Swag, the king of breaks, said go long. We're going long.
Just keep going.
Go deep. Run four verts. She's coming.
Okay.
She'll be here in like a minute.
Well, I mean.
She's right here.
Okay. Do we have her?
I'm putting her on.
Okay.
On.
Here we go. Heather, can you hear us?
I got you. You got me all right?
Oh, my God. Will, can you get on the mic and clap? This is the Heather Dinich. This is a good friend of the show. We haven't had her on in a while. How you doing, Heather?
I'm terrific. How are you guys?
You know what? We've been a little envious of Get Up, but we watch every day in our studio and we go, there's our good friend Heather Dinich. We used to just get her on the radio, but she's too big time now. You're on ESPN Daily. Congratulations on all your success so far. It's great to see you on the national shows.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm going to go ahead and credit Oregon and USC and UCLA and Washington and Texas and Oklahoma. They have a little something to do with that. There's a little more to talk about right now.
Well, what is it like to kind of walk around? I know you're talking to a lot of big wigs, your movers and shakers out there. What's it just like? I was talking to Miller Moss at USC and he grew up watching the Trojans. His mom's a Stanford fan. I'm like, is this weird to you? And he's like, yep, this is weird to me. Is it weird to everybody else covering the sport or in the sport of just like, hey, there's Washington and Oregon logos here at Big Ten Media Day?
Yes, it's weird. And I say that having the perspective of being an Indiana graduate. And I'm here, and I landed at the airport in Indianapolis, where I landed so many times when I was a student flying out here from Pennsylvania. And, you know, you get here and you walk in and the Oregon Duck is in the river on social media. And I'm just like, where am I? This is Indianapolis? And also, what are the people thinking who are just walking around town and have no idea what's going on here in Lucas Oil Stadium? So it's strange. But at the same time, we're all used to Oregon and Ohio State playing, right? We've seen that movie before. Mm-hmm. And when they get on the field, it's going to be normal because that's college football and it's going to be a great game. But now it has implications for the Big Ten standings.
Well, what's interesting, and we're talking to Heather Dinich here, ESPN, find her on Twitter. She covers the sport, does a great job covering the playoff as well. Joining us live from Indianapolis. You know, one thing we've talked about is these schools going to these new conferences. The one big thing about college that I think all of us love is like pageantry and rivalry and, hey, Oregon hates Cal and you know, just random rivalries that nobody in America thinks about or talks about that are real for us. Are we going to miss that with this? And you've alluded to something that I was thinking about yesterday listening to Ryan Day, and Dan Lanning's the preseason coach of the year in the Big Ten, and they're coming in with a lot of juice. They haven't played in the regular season. They, I think, played one time in like the last 25-plus years. They've met in bowl games. In a way, they come in this year without having been conference foes, and it feels like that game is going to feel like a rivalry given what the narrative's been about Oregon and Ohio State bringing back such a loaded team and defending kind of the Big Ten's traditional powerhouses.
Well, and it's what's interesting to me, so a couple points here. The rivalries are different. In the SEC, they talked last week about gaining some rivalries with Texas playing the Aggies again and Arkansas, and they made a point of emphasis on that because there are some others that will be lost, like Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, right? And those kinds of things are what make college football so special and unique. One of the things that could happen in the college football playoff, I'm not sure if people realize, is teams have the potential if the stars align, to play each other three times, which could create new rivalries, because Oregon and Ohio State could play in the regular season. They could see each other again in the Big Ten championship game. And if the seeding falls right, they could play again in the college football playoff, which is crazy. Same thing could happen with Ohio State, Michigan. So that possibility is open. But you think about Ohio State having to go to Autzen, which I've been to, is a fantastic, difficult place to play, right? But then you also have UCLA that has to go to Rutgers, right? And Penn State. And you think about these trips, and it's just mind-blowing, some of the travel. And Big Ten Commissioner Tony Petitti talked about that a little bit yesterday when he spoke to the media and said that travel is going to be hard. The one thing they did is they prevented cross-country trips and back-to-back weeks for teams, but he said that they will continue to evaluate travel for all sports across the board as the season unfolds.
How many Big Ten teams in your mind are, when you talk about playoff, like we're weary that the SEC network, which is under the umbrella of you guys, I said this last week, like they're already kind of teeing up, I think there's five teams here that should make the playoff, and like they're already getting that narrative out there. As we saw last year, narratives matter. Florida State gets hosed after being undefeated. I'm curious, when you look at the Big Ten, how many teams to you, if we're in a 12-team expanded playoff year one, how many do you view as playoff teams? How many could the Big Ten get in?
I think three is a realistic number. And if you're comparing that to the SEC, I think four is a realistic number for the SEC. I think the SEC's deeper, quite honestly, but I think that has yet to play out in the Big Ten, because when I look at the Big Ten, I see Ohio State at the top, Oregon, and then who's that third team? Is it Penn State? They do have something to prove, right? Michigan has a lot of questions after losing so much from last year's national championship team. Is USC a contender? Can Wisconsin be a long shot team? There's room for more, but what no one knows, including the College Football Playoff Selection Committee, is will a three-loss team get in? You're definitely going to see a two-loss team. But the fact of the matter is, in the SEC and the Big Ten, it's going to be really, really difficult to finish with even two losses for some of these teams, because it got harder when these conferences added the teams that they did. So, you know, I think three is realistic, and off the, you know, preseason, what we know on paper, Penn State to me would be that third team for the Big Ten, but they've got a tough schedule too. I mean, good grief, they could lose their season opener, West Virginia.
Yeah, West Virginia is one of those under-the-radar teams. Heather Dinich joining us here, ESPN Live at Indianapolis Big Ten Media Day. Your thoughts, just seeing maybe blurbs or watching the press conference of Jim Phillips in the ACC. We in Portland, our two cents was it just had a lot of George Kliavkoff last year energy of like, no, we're great. We're amazing. We're in this with everybody else. And I know there's been a lot of noise. Your thoughts on the ACC's current landscape where their powerhouses seem to not be happy, and they're saying everything's all great. We're a great conference.
I can just picture Jim Phillips' face cringing if he heard you compare him to George Kliavkoff.
Am I wrong, Heather? Didn't it come off a little George Kliavkoff? Like, hey, we're in a great spot right now.
In a way, yes. The difference is that it's a big difference. The difference is with George at this time last year, he was trying to get a TV deal.
Yes.
And the ACC is locked into one, and that's causing all of the frustration and tension and lawsuits. So in a way, it was good for the ACC for Jim Phillips to come out and so staunchly defend the conference and say, this is not good for the league, because he hasn't been very public about really some strong feelings that he obviously has. And for him to do that, I think was at the right time, at the right moment. And also, everyone at every other media days, every commissioner is getting asked about the ACC. How close are you paying attention to it? You know, Sankey was asked about it. Petitti was ased about it. Your Mark's always asked about it. So, excuse me. It's a real issue, but I think if you're in his shoes, you're saying and doing the same thing.
We'll get you out of here on this one, because we do appreciate the time. It's nice to catch up with you, really. It is, and we know you're crushing it over there at ESPN. If the ACC, if something is to happen with some of the bigger players who don't seem very happy, is the pivot for the ACC maybe, do they reach out West Coast? Like, we have two schools out here that kind of got left out of the Pac-12 dealings, and they're just trying to keep afloat in this landscape, this weird landscape of college football. Oregon State, Washington State, ACC futures, question mark. Yes?
I wouldn't rule anything out because conference realignment is never over. They need to find a home. You would expect, and I'm sure that Mountain West Commissioner Gloria Navarez and Pac-12 Commissioner Teresa Gould are having conversations about the future of both their leagues and what the best option is for those two schools. They want to be power four money, right? They want to be resources and everything that's attached with that. Would they have that opportunity? I don't know the answer to that right at this, as we sit here this very moment, but you know, it's hard not to imagine them landing in a spot that is power four, but at the same time, it didn't happen yet. You know, it's like musical chairs, right? And they didn't get picked. So I don't know, guys. It's a tough situation for them to be in. There's no other answer to that.
Yeah, there for sure is. Good stuff. Heather Denich joining us in Indianapolis, Big Ten Media Day. Heather, it was great to catch up with you. We'd really like, if your schedule opens up at any point during the football season, to get you back on and talk about what's happening during the season. Thank you for joining us. And again, congratulations. It's great to see somebody who's worked their tail off be rewarded and see you on the national shows almost every day now that football season's back.
Thank you guys so much. I'm happy to join you. And you guys are in Big Ten country now, so get used to it.
There we go. B1G Oregon. Thanks, Heather.
Thanks.
There we go. Heather Denich joining us live from Big Ten Media Day. Good stuff from her. Jeff Schwartz is supposed to join us in about 10 minutes, so we're going to take a second. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back, even though we're in the second hour, with hour number two, Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.